Can you tell me about the halacha class, or are you going to tell me afterwards?
Afterwards. I just wanted to learn a little chumash. We don't have that much time. I'm always a little bit under the gun.
Are you going to get power note tonight?
Yes. Yes, please. Let me offer you a lift. We're going to study now for Parshas Tetzaveh and try to connect it on a normal year. It would be also Parshas Shabbos Zohar, but because it's an Ibriyar this year, we have two Adars. And we have the mitzvah of Zohar es Asher Osel Lecham Molek. And we're going to try to see if we can find a connection between Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Ki Teitzeh, which is Zohar es Asher Osel Lecham Amolek. Now keep in mind that Haman is a descendant of Amalek, and on Purim we speak about the destruction, the Nefila of Haman. The downfall of Haman is a representation of Mechias Amalek, and therefore in as part of the celebration of Purim we commemorate the downfall of Amalek, and therefore Amalek and Zechiras Amalek, Mechias Amalek is very much embedded into the month of Adar and the commemoration of Purim. Let's begin the parasha with V'ata Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael V'yikchu Eilecha Shemen Zayis Zach Kosis Lamaor Lehalos Ner Tomit. And of course, this is the mitzvah of Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis requires kosis. It's got to be very refined. It's going to be used for the Ner Tamid, which is lit in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chidah, in his work called Dvash Lepi, writes in the name of one of the Rishonim, the Rokeach, Rabbi Elazar Migermazia, who says that Shemen Zayis Zach are the Rashi Tevis of Mordechai HaYehudi. And why is that? Because if you take the first letter in each of these three words, Shemen Zayis Zach, and you calculate their numerical value, it would be equivalent to Mordechai HaYehudi. So we have some connection here between the opening mitzvah in Parshas Tetzaveh, the mitzvah of Shemen Zayis Zach, and Purim, specifically Mordechai HaYehudi. Now, who is Mordechai? Well, we know who Mordechai is, but there's always a new way, based on Kabbalistic sources, to understand who Mordechai really is. So let's first go step by step, level of pshat. The Gemara says in Chulin, Mordechai min HaTorah minayin, dechsiv mar dror. If we take the name Mordechai, says the Gemara, and we break it down into two words, we have Mar Dror, Mare Dichye. This is Shemen Tahar, pure oil. So the name of Mordechai is a remez for oil. It's a remez for Mar Dror, Shemen Tahar. Now this Shemen Tahar is going to be used in what's called the Shemen HaMishcha, and that's the holy oil which is used to anoint the Kohen Gadol. And in the parish of Kitisa, we're going to say V'atah kachlecha v'somim rosh mar dror v'asiso so shemen mishchas kodesh. The Torah later on in parish of Kitisa is going to tell us that mar dror is going to be the shemen that we used and has to be used to create shemen mishchas kodesh, which means the shemen ha-mishcha. So now we have a connection between Mordechai, mar dror, that's the Shemen Tor, and the Shemen HaMishcha. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave Moshe Rabbeinu a remez about Mordechai HaYehudi. How do we know so? That's in Parshas Vayeschana. One of the great commentaries based on Kabbalistic thought of the Chumash is the Megala Mukos, and in his commentary on Vayeschana, he writes that Mordechai was a nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu, which I don't think you have to take it as if it's a gilgul neshama, you know, what we call reincarnation. I don't know if that's what, but the nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu, he has some sort of a of a reflection of the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's unique in the personality, the identity of Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitted over to Mordechai. And therefore, it says in the Medrash Rabbah, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Adbira, Ish Melamed Shahaya Mordechai Shokul B'Doro K'Moshe B'Doro. Regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah describes Moshe as Va'ish Moshe Anov Mi'od. And the Gemara is now creating, the Medrash is creating a Gzeirah Shavah, just like it says Ha'ish with regard to Moshe, it says Ha'ish with regard to Mordechai. So there's a parallel here between Mordechai and Moshe. Moshe is the leader of his generation. He's on the scale, he weighs as much as all of Klali, so that's how significant he is. Mordechai is also the leader of his generation. Says the Chidah that the name Ish Yehudi has the same gematria as Moshe. Again, I don't have time now to work out the mathematics. You'll do that on your free time. But there's a direct connection here between Moshe and Mordechai. So now if we go back to the parasha of Moshe, and that's here in Parashas Tetzaveh, Ve'ata Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael. The Ve'ata here is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing Moshe Rabbeinu, telling him to prepare the oil. And according to Or HaChaim HaKadosh, this is going to connect with Tetzaveh Miloshon Tzavta. Tzavta means Moshe Rabbeinu is together with the leaders, are always together with the people, with the flock. Moshe Rabbeinu is the great leader and the transmitter of Torah to the flock, meaning to Klal Yisrael. Tzavta means he connects with Klal Yisrael. So V'yikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayis Zach, which is again the command of Yata Tetzaveh, means that they will take you and there'll be a neshama called Mordechai HaYehudi, who is also Shemen Zayis Zach. As we said before, Shemen Zayis Zach is Mordechai HaYehudi. And then we have a remez here that Moshe Rabbeinu in this parasha, in Parashat Tetzaveh, is connected to Mordechai HaYehudi. And we want to understand why is it that in this mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah and Beis HaMikdash, Shemen Zayis Zach, we find in this context the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai. That the Shemen Zayis Zach is a symbolic representation of the neshama of Mordechai. And just like Ata Tetzaveh means you have a legacy to teach and to connect with the people of Israel as their leader, so too Mordechai has a legacy as the leader of his people. And all this is indicated in the mitzvah, the tetzaveh of Yikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayis Zach, the mitzvah of lighting the candelabra in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? What is it about this mitzvah that indicates a connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai? So that question we'll leave on the side, on the back burners, and hopefully we'll be able to come back to it later on. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked in the back of a parasha in a Chumash. There is a certain Mesorah as to how many verses are in that parasha.
And then from my fine scene, the stone parasha, you elongate
it. So in the case of Parashat Tetzaveh, the Sofrim, who count the Psukim, added a certain addition here. And this is very unusual. It says in the published Chumashim at the end of Parashat Tetzaveh, quote, Kuf Aleph Psukim, there are 101 Psukim, Michael Simon. Now we know that there are a number of Malachim, and these angels play various roles, respectively, but one of the great Malachim is called Michael. And if you take the number Michael, you'll get the number Kuf Aleph, which is exactly a reflection of the 101 psukim that we find in Parashas Tetzaveh. Now, according to a tradition that goes back to Rav Nechunai Gaon, one of the Gaonim, the simanu of the psukim, when they indicate a certain name of a person or a malach, is part of Mesorah. It's really an old, ancient tradition that goes back to the Kadmonim. So that's very interesting that Rav Lichanoi Gaon puts a certain significance to these simonim when the numbers of verses in a particular parasha are connected with a particular person or with a particular malach.
You could find many examples that equal 101, so why did you choose this particular one?
Oh, that I didn't know. There are other examples of 101?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was only Parsha Tetzaveh.
I'm not talking about the number of psukim. I'm talking about words or expressions that whose gematria would be 101.
Oh, I see.
It's not hard to find a good
one. Right. So now it comes out that Parshas Tetzaveh has, so to speak, the imprint or the personality of Michal. Why is Michal the Baal Bas, so to speak, over Parshas Tetzaveh? So we're going to take a look at the beginning of our parsha, the famous question why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted from Parshas Tetzaveh. The Baal HaTurim, who's the son of the Rosh, he has something to say. He has an insight. He says, Lo Hizkir Moshe Vazas say there. Moshe ain't came b'chol achumish. Shemi shenolad Moshe ain't say the shal huzkar ba shmo shal Moshe. But here, in Parshas Tetzaveh, is the only parsha since the birth of Moshe where Moshe's name is not mentioned in the parsha. Tam. This is a very famous answer of the tour. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Chet HaEgel, pleads to Hashem that if Hashem, you're going to destroy the people, then Mecheni Nomi Sifrecha Asher Kasavta, erase my name from the book.
Yurtzeit is around the time of the parasha. That was the
right
coincidence.
That's also part of this.
Yeah, today.
Now, today all this... all this is based on the Zohar. And the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu is out there as the great shepherd representing the Klal Yisrael. He's willing to be Moshe Nefesh for saving Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. And therefore he says, Mecheni no misifrecha. That's a great act of self-sacrifice on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Should he be punished? And therefore as a result, his name will be omitted from a parasha? In fact, the great contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu and Noach is that Noach did not put his neck out. We don't know that he davened on behalf of the Dor to try to save them from the destruction of the Mabul, but Moshe Rabbeinu tried to stick out his neck and successfully saved Klal Yisrael. And how did he do it? By saying, "Mecheni no misifcha, I don't want any part of this." And now he's going to be punished, and his name is going to be omitted from Parshas Tetzaveh. The tour may have been standing on the shoulders of his father, the Rosh. The Rosh, in his commentary on the Torah, says that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted from the parasha. And the Baal HaTurim builds on that. And he says that the reason is because Mecheni no misifrecha. But let's take a look at the summary of the Rosh, of the words of the Rosh. Timtzu b'chol asdar masher b'torah. We're now in the middle of the left column, if you're following the text. That Mishul Nolad Moshe Ad Mishneh Torah, who Nizkar, in every single Seder, from the beginning of the Lede of Moshe until the end of Mishneh Torah of Dvarim, he's mentioned, Vilvad Zas Seder, V'teimahu. I don't understand it. V'shamati Mipi Arav Rav Don Ashkenazi Zal, L'fisha Moshe Amar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch HaMechilas, HaEgel Dover Ra, meaning he shouldn't have said what he said. And he says, "V'mecheni no misifcha shekasavtu." And we mentioned the Gemara in Brachos, "Kilas Odom Afilah Tnai Hibo." When a person says something, his words are very powerful. They have repercussions, even when they're made with a condition. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? Really, I should erase you from all of the Torah because Kilas Chacham he bought, and you said Mecheni no misifcha. But you know what? I'm going to go lefnim mishus hadin. I'm going to erase you from just one parsha, and that is the parsha of Tetzaveh, and that's the klola that Moshe Rabbeinu said Mecheni no misifcha that came to fruition, but Hashem's compassion had it that it would only come to fruition in one parsha. Anyway, it's very clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the name of Moshe Rabbeinu would be omitted from this parsha. It was a chesed gadol. It was lefnim mishus hadin. I will erase you only from one parsha, and I will save you from a kiyum befall, a fulfillment of the klala that you gave yourself of Mecheni no Misifracha. So in other words, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted from the parasha is an expression of the great Ava Gedol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Moshe Rabbeinu to save him from what could have been a total, you know, if the klala of Moshe would have come to fruition, a total removal of Moshe Rabbeinu from the Chumash. So once again we see that it's a complicated situation. It's not simple to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is being punished, because on the contrary, the parasha of Nitzot of Atatitzava is an expression of God's lefnimishus adin, of his love for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now let's talk about the number 101. There are 101 psukim in Tetzava, and that's equal to Michal. What is the significance of the number 101? Well, you'll tell me it's one more than 100, right? If there were 100 bottles of beer on the wall, now we have 101 bottles of beer on the wall. But for this, we have to see a Gemara in Chagiga. And this you'll see on page 2, or on the flip side of your page. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga, Amarle, this is the third paragraph on page 2, Amarle bar Hehe Lehillel, the son of Hehe said to Hillel, what does it mean in Malachi at the end of Tanakh? It says, Veshavtem u'reisa ma bein tzadik l'rosha, bein oved elokim l'asher lo avodo. Well, it sounds like it's repetition. Malachi is saying tzadik in Rosh, and then he says oved elokim l'asher lo avodo. And the Gemara is looking for a different explanation of this categorization of oved elokim and asher lo avodo. Amalo. So Hill responded. And he said the following: Travayu tzaddiki gmur minhu. Whether he's an oved or a low oved, he's a tzaddik. But who is the oved and who is the low oved? He who studies, who repeats, he reviews his lesson 101 times, he's considered the oved. He's the ultimate personification of an oved. Eino dome shona pirko mea pa'amim l'shona pirko mea pa'amim v'yachas. If a person reviews his lesson 100 times, apparently that was the curriculum back in the day. Today, I don't know if they require you to review your lesson more than once, but then it was 100 times. So he fulfilled his requirement. But he's not the true ultimate Oved Hashem. The ideal Oved Hashem says, I reviewed it, I fulfilled my requirement, that was the curriculum requirement, but now I can't part from the Torah, I have a craving for Torah. I will go beyond. I will add that 101, the 101st review of my Torah.
You have this with the chauffeur 101 times because of his mother.
I remember 100. I don't remember 101.
No, at the end of blowing chauffeur, you add the X. You also.
Yeah, but I remember the number 100. I don't remember the number 101.
It's Ashkenaz versus Spar.
I don't know. I only know 100. I don't know 100. I only know 100. In any event, whatever it is, let's not focus on shofar. If I get by this
number,
I'll bench Gomel, right? Let's try to see why there are 101 psukim in Parshas Kitisa, Parshas Titzav. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little flustered here. So let's see if we can.
Okay, yourself.
We'll have a Bli Neder when we get to Rosh Hashanah. Please remind me to talk about the Mea Kolos, the 100 Kolos of Shofar. But now I can't focus on Shofar. I'm sorry, I apologize.
No, with the number of people.
Yeah, I can't. I just trying to get through this. All right? So let's see what we can do with this in the very short amount of time that we have. Okay. We're going to now study the words of the Arizal. He says the following. This is mind-boggling. The Arizal had access to secrets that we don't have access to. Maybe he had Ruach HaKodesh. I guess he did. And he says the following. That up in Shamayim, there's an antithetical force of a sar, who is in charge of Shichacha. his goal is to make you forget. Now, sometimes it's good to forget, but very often it's not good to forget. We want to remember. This tsar is called mas. Mas represents the number 100. Says the Ari.
That's why people forget to pay their taxes.
Right. He says that if we go beyond mas and we study out, I'll tell you what it is, Larry. The word mas here in this connection, I think, means responsibility. In other words, the government taxes you. You got to pay up your taxes. And if you pay 100, you paid your taxes. But in our relationship to Torah and our responsibility to study Torah, we want to go beyond mas, not just the required standard 100.
Yeah, I think that's how they explained from last week's Haftorah that Shlomo did a mas, that he wanted, that you're responsible for bringing the wood for the Beit HaMikdash.
And if, so what does it mean to go beyond mas?
No, in some sense, in other words, they say they don't want to call it a tax, they want to call it responsibility.
I see. But what I think the Ari is trying to convey here is that we have the potential of defeating this Malach of Shichacha. And that's Hashona Pirko Mea Pa'amim Kiminyan Mas. And now at this point, he's equal with this Sar Hamamun al Shichacha. They're both 100. And now, another individual, or maybe the same individual, says, I can't live without the Torah.
And
the Torah.
Oh, the Torah.
I'm sorry, I need a microphone, but I can't live without the Torah. And therefore, I'm going to study the Torah 101 times. At this point, in the equilibrium, so to speak, the scales that are weighing in the tug of war between the student of Torah and this Malach, who's called Mas, is now, there's more weight to tip the scale in favor of the Shona Kuf Aleph, and whom is Gaber Venotzcho. He can now defeat the Malach of Shichacha. So now he is up to the point where he's guaranteed to remember his Torah. It becomes part of his essence. He adds from the Ramah Panoa. Okay, we're not going to go into the same with Katzenelma. Anyway, he says the following: Kasher shonim mea pa'omim v'yachas magbirin es kocho shel Malach Michal. Michal has the gematria of Kuf Aleph, and he is the Sar HaTorah, who's Memuna ala Zikaron. We now have an insight into who Michal is and what his responsibility is. And he is going to fight a battle against Mas. And he's going to win that battle because he represents the number 101. And there's a pasuk in Bereishis that says, Vayhi ach yotzo yetze. This is about Esav, it's not for us now. But he says, Train yitzios elu. Aleph le Yaakov, Beis le Michael. Okay, this is a little bit beyond my comprehension right now, so we'll leave it at. Anyway, getting back on the horse, he says the following. Let's understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, deliberately made a decision that Parshas Tetzaveh should have 101 psukim. And it comes down to the same reason that we give why the name of Moshe was omitted from this parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu declares in the aftermath of the Chet Egel in Cain, Im Ayin Mecheni No Misifcha Shekasavta. And that statement is the reason, or is the generates or justifies the decision of God that the parasha of Tetzaveh should comprise 101 psukim. The remez here is that we have the possibility of defeating Shichachas HaTorah by studying the Torah 101 times. And that's Kemispar Michael. And now Moshe Rabbeinu caused a Shviras, through a Shviras Haluchas, he caused Shichachas HaTorah. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, he sees the people worshipping the Egel, he destroys the Luchos. And there's going to be Shichas HaTorah. And in the context of Shichas HaTorah, certain Torah is going to be omitted, so to speak. It's going to be forgotten, meaning omitted. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, omit me from the Sefer Torah. So now we have to somehow fix up and rectify this situation of Shichas HaTorah, of the Im Ayin Mecheninah. And how do we do so? by the psukim of Tetzaveh, which equal to 101 kemispar michal. That's going to be a tikkun on Shichachas HaTorah, because 101 is Michael, who's the Sar HaMemun al Zichron HaTorah. And therefore, the Balei Mesorah, when they finish Parshas Tetzaveh, they write Kuf al Psukim Michael Simon. This is a remez to try to allude to the fact that a person should review his lessons 101 times. He should, and again, he should do it out of a genuine desire to do so, a connection to the Torah, and in that way he intensifies the power of the Malach Michal, the Sar HaZikaron, and enables that Sar of Michal to overcome the Sar of Shikha of Mas, because now the Gematria is 101 as opposed to 100, and this is all meant to be a tikkun that since Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, and that's going to bring about the destruction of the Luchos, and that's going to bring about Shichas HaTorah in this world, now we have to do a tikkun, and that tikkun is going to be done through the number 101 to defeat the Sar of Shichacha through Michael, the Sar of Zikaron. And if this be the case, then let's begin to understand, based on the Chasam Sofer, what Amalek is all about. And now in the middle column, on the top of the middle column on page 2, the Chasam Sofer says that Amalek is a word that should be divided into two. It's Amel Kuf. The word Kuf, the letter Kuf, I should say, is the gematria of Sam, of 100. And the Amelus of Amalek is to bring about Kuf, meaning to bring about Shichachas HaTorah. And basically what Amalek tries to accomplish is, if you have a person who's Amel B'Torah, let him do so 100 times, but I'm going to prevent him from going overboard to 101. And why? Because I know that without getting that extra one, that extra limud and chazara, the Sara Shikha, that Sam, is going to have control over the Jew. And that's going to bring about Shichas HaTorah. And if this be the case, let's go back to the Rokeach that we started with. It says, V'ata titzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilecha shemen zayis zach. And here's a remez, shemen zayis zach, which is the same gematria as Mordechai, to the great miracle of Purim. Because the Rosh Tevos here of shemen zayis zach are the gematria of Mordechai Yehudi. He's the Mardror. He's going to be the Shemen Tahar. And from that Shemen Tahar, we're going to create the Shemen HaMishcha in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to light the candelabra on a daily basis. And all this can be understood if we have a little bit of an insight of how the Ness of Purim came about. After all, Haman was able to persevere and convince Achashverosh to give him the Tabas, and with that Tabas, to sign and seal the decree to destroy and annihilate the Jewish people. Vayosar amelches tabato me'al yodo v'yitno lahaman ben amdos ha'gogi tzorer ha'yehudim. So it means that when it says vayosar amelches tabato, it means that now Haman is in the driver's seat. He's given the authority to destroy the Jewish people. But at the end of the Megillah, it says, "Vayosar Melchas Tabato Sherhevir Mihama Vayitno LeMordechai." And Anshe Knesset Gedola, when they edited or gave the Gishpanka, you know, they gave the authority to the Megillah, and it became part of Kisvei HaKodesh. So they organized it in such a way that the language would indicate that the original Mesiras HaTabas from Achashverosh to Haman, would now be undermined, would be turned over upside down, and now that same Tabas would be taken from Haman and given to Mordechai. And the significance of this is indicated by the Pasuk in Megillah, Vayhi kiros ha-melches Esther malcha, omes b'chatzer nosei schein b'yeno, vayoshet ha-melech li-Esther ha-sharvit ha-zav ha-sher b'yodav ha-tikrav Esther ha-tiga b'rosh ha-sharvit. The Gemara says that she could not possibly reach out because she was situated outside the Sharvit. But a Malach came and stretched out the Sharvit in such a way that Esther was able to touch the Sharvit and then to plea on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And how many Amos did this Sharvit have to get extended? According to one opinion in the Gemara, 60 Amos. Again, we come back to this intervention, a divine intervention in the story of Purim that will ultimately lead to the Geula, the redemption of Purim. And here on the top left of page 2, the Alshich, in his commentary on Megillus Esther, says that what's the significance of the 60 Amma, of the extension of the Sharvit? He says it's based on the Pasuk in Matan Torah. It says there, Vayisiatzvu betachtis ha'har. Omar Rabbi Avdimi in the Medrash, it says, this is also quoted in the Gemara in the famous Ayadata of Matan Torah, of Har Sinai. He says to find Malamish Kofa Kodesh Baruch Alem is Har Kigigis Yamalem Imatem Makabli Mator Mutav Imlav Shom Take Furasna. Now Mikan Modor Rabbi Loraisa, we were forced to accept the Torah. Marava Afal Pikein Bidor Bimeh Hashverosh Hadar Kiblua. They received the Torah. They accepted the Torah willingly, with simcha, with ratzon, with true, genuine joy. Tchsiv Kimu VeKiblua Yehudim. Aleim, it says, Kimu Mashi Kibu Kfar. So Tosfos says, why was it necessary to compel the Jewish people to accept the Torah at Har Sinai? After all, the Jewish people declared Nasa V'Nishma. So he quotes a teretz in the name of the Bali Atosis, but we find a different teretz which we're going to focus our attention on tonight in the Medrash Tanchuma. And the Medrash Tanchuma says there's a difference between Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebaalpeh is relatively easy. It's basic laws, we can understand it. We don't have to work very hard. But Torah Shebaalpeh is murder. It requires an endless amount of omel and yigiyah, of pilpul. And the Jewish people are not ready at that point, and not eager to accept Torah Shebaalpeh. So the Kof Aleihem Har Kigigis was for the acceptance of the Torah Shebaalpeh, according to Medrash Tanchuma. The Torah, according to the Gemara in Brachas, requires that we're willing to kill ourselves, what we call in Yiddish harva, you know, to really work overtime in order to understand Torah Shebaal Peh. And that was not accepted at the time, it was not accepted willingly, I should say, at the time of Matan Torah. So now we begin to understand the significance, says the Alshich, of the number 60. 60 represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? Because according to Medrash Rabbah, there are 60 mesechtos in Shas, and Shishim Hema Malchus, Ela Shishim Mesechta Shel Halachas, and the Malach stretches or extends the Sharvit. How do you say Sharvit in English? I forget.
Scepter.
60 Amma, as a remez that Klal Yisrael, in the aftermath of the great redemption of Purim, will accept the 60 Masechtas of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Ava.
That's the Alshich?
That's all in the Alshich.
That's terrific.
Terrific Alshich. And now we're going a step further, and we're saying that in all of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, we'll find that the name of Mordechai, again, you can only do this with a computer, is mentioned 60 times. In Megillas Esther alone, his name appears 58 times, and it's mentioned in Sefer Ezra once, and all. If you turn to page 3, you'll see that it's mentioned again in Sefer Nehemiah, totaling 60 times. And the remez is that in the schus of Mordechai, which represents the number 60, we accepted Torah Shebaal Peh. Mordechai was the crucial vehicle to bring about the redemption and the great joy of the Nes of Purim. And in the aftermath of that great joy, the people willingly accepted Torah Shebaal Peh, the 60 Mesechtos, represented by number 1, the 60 Amos of the Sharvit, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now giving us that great miracle, and number 2, the 60 times that Mordechai's name appears throughout Tanakh. And if this be the case, we go back to what we asked before. Why did the Anshei Knesset Gedolah in incorporating and coding the Megillas Esther indicate that the same Tabas that was given by Achashverosh to Haman was taken off of Haman and was given to Mordechai? Tabas represents the number 60. 60 is a round circle, and it represents Torah Sheba'al Peh. What Mordechai was doing was he was trying to defeat Amalek. Amalek, Haman, is trying to indicate the number 60. If you remember, we said that Amalek is trying to get Klal Yisrael to forget the Torah, right? The Kuf of 100. Again, you weren't here, but we'll fill it in later. Let me just try to get to the punchline here. So he says the following, that now that Tabas, which represents the number 60, which is Torah Sheba'al Peh, is reclaimed by Mordechai from Haman. And now what it means is that although there was an original acceptance of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the 60, B'Kfiyas Ahar, but now we're going to have a decision which is absolutely free will decision without compulsion of accepting Torah Sheba'al Peh in the aftermath of the greatness of Purim. And Mordechai is instrumental to bring about this, and therefore the Tabas represents the number 60 of Torah Sheba'al Peh. But he goes further, and he says the following, that a Tabas is also used, of course, for what? For marriage, to be Mekadesh. And Chazal say that based on a pasuk in Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, betrothed the people of Israel. It's also indicated in many psukim in Tanakh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh Klal Yisrael with the Tabas. The clincher that brings about the oneness, the unity, the dveikus between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dod and Knesset Yisrael, the Raya, is the Tabas of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's Torah Sheba'al Peh that cements the marriage relationship of Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that marriage relationship was very iffy up until Mordechai, because Klal Yisrael didn't accept that marriage for Torah Sheba'al Peh. If the Tabas is Torah Sheba'al Peh, the 60, Mirtzono, they were forced and compelled to do so. Kofalem Harki Gigas. So where's the marriage relationship? And therefore it says, Vayosar Melches Tabato Me'al Yodo. First, in the stage of Amalek, Amalek picks up the Tabas. Pirish HaMelech HaElyon, right? Melech, I think it's the Gaon, and even before the Gaon, every time it says HaMelech in the Megillah, it's a remez to the King of Kings. And he took off the Tabas, which symbolically represents the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the 60 of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And he takes it off. And right now, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Kaviyachol, holding on to the Tabas. And then, after it says, Vayosar Melech es Tabato, meaning the Melech is holding on to the Tabas, then it says, Vayitna lo Haman. Hashem gives Haman the power over the 60, over the Kabbalas Ha Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Sheba'al Peh represented by the number 60. Why is Haman called it Sorer HaYehudim? And the answer is because it says Sorer Kol HaYehudim is Miloshon Tzror V'Kesher, which means to tie a knot. Based on a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, "Vahaisa nefesh Adoni tzrura b'tzrar achayim." You're knotted up or connected. Haman is going to create a connection. What kind of connection? Esther, in the aftermath of the gzeir of Haman, declares, "Lech knosis kol Yehudim." Get all the Jews together. So, in other words, when it says, "Vayosar melches tabato me'al yodo," when the Melech Elyon takes the Tabas away, which the Tabas again represents the 60 Mesechtos of Torah Sheba'al Peh, we're now in the middle column here. Vayitna lo Haman, who is Haman? He's the Tzorer HaYehudim. Tzorer means he weaves together the Jews. And this is all part of the divine plan, that if the Jews can unite together in response to this terrible gzeir of annihilation, then they're ready for Kabbalah Satorah, because Kabbalah Satorah always has to be an act of unity when Ki'ishach HaBelev HaFkod, all the Klal Yisrael together represent one indivisible Ratzon, a will to accept the Torah, in this case the Torah Shebaal Peh, which until now they didn't accept willfully. And all this is going to be a result of the fact, paradoxically, that the key of the, in this case the ring of Torah Shebaal Peh is given over to Haman. So it says Vayosar Melchus Tabato Sharherv, at the end of the Megillah, he takes the Tabas and he gives it over to Mordechai. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing if the word Melech means Melech Elyon? He is granting Mordechai this Tabas, that's a remez for the 60 Masechtas of Torah Shebaal Peh, so that now Mordechai will be able to complete the Avodah to bring down a shefar on Klali, so that they should accept it, to inspire the people of Israel, they should accept the Torah, meaning the Shishim Masechtas of Torah Shebaal Peh, be Ava. And that's why Mordechai, says the Gemara in Chulin, is Miloshon Mar Dror. And what is Mar Dror? The Ramban writes that Mar Dror is the dam hanit nitzrar bebeten achaya hadoma l'tzvi hayudu b'yeretz hodu ubelechto bein asichim b'yemei achom hagadol megaredes benafach shahu v'adam yotzei tzror v'lotim oso min ha'achu. So he has a biological explanation for what this mar dror is and how it comes, how it's created in nature. And the Ramban says the following: Upirshu dror miloshen ukrasem dror. Right, this specific oil is called mar dror miloshen dror. Dror means freedom. Right, this is on the Liberty Bell. And ulai nomar, perhaps he suggests that hitzrich hakosiv lioso chofshi lomar sheyukach min atzviahu bioso chofshi. Mishalich ben arugos habesomim, misane kirtzono, ki kasher yilokeid v'yamod b'rshus ha'odom, lo yasim mor, ki im ma'at, v'eino mevusam v'zeh domer bor. He says that if we're going to extract the mor dror from the tzvi, then we have to make sure that the tzvi is free, it's liberated, it's dror, because then it produces a serious volume of mar, the mar that we need for this creation of the Shemen HaMishcha. So what do we get from this whole complicated Ramban? What is it going to add to us? He says in the bottom paragraph, going on to the top of the left column, he says that the Lashon of Mar Dror is teaching us that the Besomim of the mar, how do they get this Reach Tov, this very fragrant odor? Kasher achayim es haleches dror, when this animal, this kind of a tzvi, will roam freely amongst the trees in the forest, which is a remez for the Torah and the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael will fulfill, then it adds a reach nichoach, which is going to create the besomim for the Shemen HaMishcha. And he says that ultimately, the mar dror represents dror meaning freedom, because that's going to increase the volume of the mar dror and the beautiful fragrance of the mar dror. And therefore, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and that's the symbolism of the Shemen HaMishcha, of Shemen Zayis Zach, is that God wants a freedom. God wants us to accept the Torah freely, not as an act of compulsion, but rather as an act of free will. And all this is indicated by the Yikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayis Zach. And we begin to understand, this was our first question, why is it that the remez from Mordechai is dafka in this parsha of Shemen Zayis Zach, which the Chidah says that Shemen Zayis Zach, if you take the first letter of each word, is the gematria of Mordechai. And we found that according to the Kabbalistic sources, Mordechai has the nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is it that this connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai is going to manifest itself here in the context of Tetzaveh of Yikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayis Zach? And the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the great gift in the Masechta Nedarim of Pilpul Shel Torah, meaning Torah Shebal Peh. He decided, Moshe Rabbeinu, to be Noeg Minig Tov Ayin and to give it over to Klal Yisrael. And he's considered the Pasuk of Mishlei, Tov Ayin Hu Yevurach, that the bracha is chal on Moshe Rabbeinu, because even though Moshe Rabbeinu could have hoarded the Torah Shebal Peh for himself, instead he was Noeg Minig Tov Ayin and he gave it to Klal Yisrael. He's going to be blessed. Where do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was Noeg Minig Tova and Ayin Tova, and he gave the Pilpul HaTorah to Klal Yisrael? And the answer is because the Gemara tells us that after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, no less than 3,000 halachos were lost. And Rabbi Avo says in the Gemara in Tmura, Afal Pichein Hechziro Masnil Ben Knaz Mitok Pilpulo. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's pilpul was lost. As a result, 3,000 halachas principles were lost. And now, Asniel ben Knaz has the koach pilpul, and he received it in a very profound way. He was the expert in pilpul, and therefore, he was able to be machzir the 3,000 halachas of pilpul of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells in Ksubas about Rabbi Chanina, I spoke about it last week on Shabbos, that he said about himself that he has such a power of pilpul that if the Torah would ever be forgotten, he could recreate the Torah based on pilpul. So it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the koach pilpul, and Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the luchos at the time of the Chet HaEgel. That created a shichas HaTorah, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to be given the koach pilpul in order to be machzir the Torah that was forgotten. As we said before, Shmiras HaLuchos represent the forgetting of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was granted the Koach HaPilpul, in which he could replace or resurrect the Torah that was forgotten. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Noeg Tov Ayin, he gave the Pilpul to the Klal Yisrael, gave them the opportunity that in any period of time in Jewish history, when necessary, they could use, implement the Koach HaPilpul, and they could be machzir the Torah that was forgotten. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu represents the exact opposite, or the antithesis, if you will, of forgetting the Torah, because Pilpul HaTorah is the Koach of being machzir Torah, any Torah that was forgotten. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, paradoxically, brings about the Shichas HaTorah by breaking the Luchos, but at the same time, he was Noeg Minig Ayin Tova with Klal Yisrael to pass on to Klal Yisrael the Koach HaTorah, the Koach HaPilpul, that we guarantee that they'll always be able to pass on the Torah, and even Torah that's forgotten, they can somehow resurrect from the dead, if you pardon that expression. And if that be the case, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Noeg the Koach HaPilpul, he was guaranteeing that there would be a dedication, an endless or eternal dedication to Torah, to the transmission of Torah Shebal Peh. It would never be forgotten. That's the Koach HaPilpul. And now we begin to understand the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai HaYehudi, who has the nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mordechai was mashpion Klal Yisrael once he got the ring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, the samach of Torah Shebal Peh, that they should now have such an ava. So Mordechai is instrumental in bringing about the great miracle of Purim. As a result, the people are in love with Hashem. There's a great ava. Now they're ready to accept the ring that connects HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his kala, with Knesset Yisrael, through Torah Shebal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu was Noeg Minig Tov, and he gave the Koach HaPilpul of Torah Shebal Peh to the generations to come. And Mordechai is now going to inspire his generation to the level of Ava towards the Koach HaPilpul of Torah Shebal Peh, such that now, Kimu v'kibu aleim, they'll accept the Torah willingly, b'simcha. And that's the symbolism of Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis, which is given here in Parshas Tetzaveh, is, as we said, the Rashi Tevis of Mordechai. V'atot tetzavas b'nei Yisrael v'yikru elecha shemen zayis zach. And now shemen zayis zach is the gematria of Mordechai HaYehudi. And the Gemara says in Horios, here we're turning to page 4, Omer Rav Yochanan, kishem Shahazayis Mishakeach Limud Shal Shivim Shona Kach Shemen Zayis Meshiv Limud Shal Shivim Shona. There's some sort of symbolic representation of Shichacha through Zaysim, through olives. But the Shemen, the oil that comes out of the olives, which is Bina, which is to take something out of something, L'Havin Dov Mitov Dover, that represents the power to overcome, to undermine Shichas HaTorah and guarantee Zichron HaTorah, to remember the Torah. Here's the difference between Zayas and Shemen Zayas. Initially, the Shemen is concealed in the Zayas, and as a result, we have to bring the Shemen out. We have to extract the Shemen that's concealed. We have to work very hard to do so. That's called Ketisha, to crush the Zaysim. And there's a whole process by which we do that. And if a person is an Atzlan, if he's lazy and laid back about it, he doesn't want to go through the very tedious work of Ketisha Zaysim, the Shemen remains inside the Zayas. And he eats the Zayas together with the Shemen, which is inside. And therefore, the Zayas itself, which has the Shemen collected and concealed inside of it, is a remez for the Torah Shebich Sav of all the Doros that has within it the potential for pilpul, for extracting the Torah Shebal Peh. Right, that's the famous Gaon, that the Gaon says that all of Torah Shebal Peh is hinted at in Torah Shebich Sav. But the Shemen Zayis, that represents the next level, when we take all that potential, all that hidden Torah that's inherent in Torah Shebich Sav, and we bring it out. And that requires Amelus and Torah, as we saw in the Tanchuma earlier. It's like, you know, you have to give up your life for the sake of this work of Ketisha B'machteshes, which is a remez for Torah Shebal Peh, the pilpul of removing the Shemen from the Zayis. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan makes the statement, as we saw earlier, Kishem Shazayis Mishakeach Limud, the Zayis, which is the remez for Torah without any Yigia, you know, just to read the Torah Shebich Sav, and that's going to bring to Shichacha. Kach, on the flip side, Shemen Zayis is Meshiv Limud, is the ability to replace that Torah that was forgotten because of the Amelus and the Derech HaPilpul of removing the Shemen from the Zayis. This symbolism of Shemen Zayis is really the image of Torah Shebal Peh, the Pilpul of Torah Shebal Peh. And now we begin to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu revealed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of Parashat Tetzaveh in the Shemen Zayis Zach about the Nes of Purim, and Mordechai Yehudi, who's a nitzos of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's name was omitted from Parshas Tetzaveh, and that's because he said Mecheni No in the aftermath of the Cheder Egel. He destroys the Luchos, and therefore he brings about a Shichacha. His name, Moshe Rabbeinu's name, is going to be forgotten from Parshas Tetzaveh. But there are 101 psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh to be metaken the Shichas HaTorah that was caused and brought about by the Shmiras HaLuchos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now adds to him that if you want to know what the skula is to bring about remembering and fixing up the forgetting and resurrect the Torah from the forgotten wild blue yonder, then I have to give you the Koch HaPilpul. And that's going to reach its fruition at the time of the Nes of Pur. Mordechai, as the Nitzos of Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to bring the Jewish people to appreciate and love the Koach HaPilpul, the Torah Shebal Peh, so that now they will accept the Torah Shebal Peh willingly. And therefore the opening word in this week's parsha is going to be Vi'ata. What's the Vi'ata? The Vi'ata is the concealing of the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Vi'ata is a result of Mechenina. Moshe Rabbeinu, his name is erased. Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael v'ichu elecha shemen zayis zach. Now we're talking about a remez for the pilpul of Torah, which is called shemen, to remove the shemen from the zayis, and that is the remez for Torah Shebal Peh that was given to Moshe as a gift. And when Mordechai will have that bechina, that dimension of shemen zayis zach, which is the gematria of Mordechai HaYehudi, he will have the influence and the power to uplift the people of Israel, inspire them to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh of Shemen, Zayis, Zach, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift, and now Klal Yisrael are ready and ripe to accept that gift willingly, and it's no longer Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigis. I'm going to try to just summarize this. We don't have that much time left. In the following two paragraphs, in the middle of the column on page 4, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu a remez for Mordechai by calling him, referring to him, alluding to him, I should say, Shemen Zayis Zach. Shemen Zayis Zach, as we said, is the symbol of Torah Shebaal Peh of Pilpul, because we have to extract the Shemen Zayis. That's going to be a skula for remembering the Torah, because again, it's the implementation of Pilpul HaTorah that could bring back the Torah that's forgotten. In order to guarantee that Amalek should not bring about the Shichas HaTorah through the number 100, which is Amah Le Kuf, right? The Amel to bring about Kuf. Now we have the parsha of Viata Tetzaveh. How many psukim are there in Viata Tetzaveh? 101. And that's going to be a connection to Michael, who's 101, who's the Sar on Zichron HaTorah. Now, the entire parsha of Vi'ata Tetzaveh, from the beginning of the Shemen Zayizach until the end of the parsha, 101 Psukim, is going to be the Tikkun of remembering the Torah, of Zichron HaTorah, of remembering Torah that was forgotten, through what method, through what mechanism, through the Igia and the Pilpul of Torah. And that Yigiyah of Pilpul of Torah is represented by Shemen Zayisach. It's represented, reflected in the number of Psukim of 101. The Balabas on Parshas Tetzav is going to be Michal, the Sar of Zikaron. And now we understand that Mordechai HaYehudi is going to be the one, because he's the Nitzotz of Moshe, who is going to influence the people with the Samach. The Samach, which is the ring that will clinch the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Torah Shebaal Peh of Pilpul. And if the people of Israel at the time of Har Sinai were not willing to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh unless they would be compelled to do so Kaf Aleihem, now they're ready through the influence of the Nes of Purim, the Yeshua of Purim, through the inspiration of their leader of Mordechai, to receive and accept the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Pilpul Shel Torah, Biratzon Ubesimcha. That is the fulfillment of the ultimate of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Shemen Zayis Zach. Therefore, it's not coincidental that this parsha of Tetzaveh will be the parsha of Zechiras Amalek. This will be the parsha of remembering the Torah. This will be the parsha of Pilpul Shel Torah, the Shemen that we extract from the Zayis. This will be the parsha of 101 Psukim, Keneged Michal, who's the Sar of Zikaron. This is going to be the parsha in which Moshe Rabbeinu is given a remez about Mordechai HaYehudi, who's going to inspire the people to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh willingly and be ready for the Amel of Yigiyah that's going to undermine the Sar of Mas, who represents the number 100, and to fight and battle against Amalek. So from this point on, I'll have to ask you to learn it on your own. I'm not always good at fitting it in, you know, what we call the time management, because it's a four pages that are chock full of action. Mm-hmm. So if you can make a note of it, we got up to the paragraph that starts Yesh LaHosif. And my tefillah and my bracha is that as we enter into these days of Adar, now it's Adar Rishon, and we'll get to Adar Sheni and Purim, we should dedicate ourselves to the love of Pilpul Shel Torah, to learn the Torah in depth. The Torah Shebaal Peh should be our tabas that clinches the marriage relationship between us and Knesset Yisrael, the Raya and the Dod. We should be zochet to the Shemen Zayizach in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shemen Zayizach that represents Mordechai Yehudi, the Kabbalah Sator V'Ava, specifically of Torah Shebaal Peh, Kein Yiratzon. Amen.